This is Winging It Podcast, the podcast for people who don't have their shit together.
Their shit together. Their shit together. Their shit together.
And we're back with the Winging It Podcast. I am Rashad Howard here with
Athena Cross
and
Aaron Saunders.
We are very excited to spend time here today at N3DC with Aaron Saunders. He has more than 25 years of software development experience. He's a true OG when you talk about black tech or blacks in tech. He's been representing the game for quite some time. He's run a number of very successful, very profitable businesses in technology. And we're just proud to be in your presence today, sir.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
And that's why Rashad does the introductions.
Right. I do my research.
All right.
Plus, I love my people, man. My name is Rashad Howard. I have an ego coin in my hand, and my ego's been properly checked multiple times today. But I come in today excited to hear your story and excited to share your story with the world. I mean everything I say about somebody who I think is an OG and all of this, and a role model and a trailblazer for others to follow. And so I just look forward to getting out of you what you need to say so that others can really connect with who the real person is. And so I'm going to put away any feelings of needing to perform myself and just find you. With that, my ego is checked.
Yeah, that was good. So I do many things outside of doing this show, but one of them is I'm working on my doctorate and I study things like racism and implicit bias in health. And so, you know, for the last, I don't know, month or two, I'm just like going through all of this research that shows how, you know, institutional racism creates impossible situations for people of color to survive and thrive. And so what I'm excited about today is hearing your story, because in an industry that isn't really filled with black and brown people and women, it's really the things that you've been able to do, the path that you're on, the journey that you're trying, that you're having right now, and your desire to change the world is, I think, really important. And I'm really happy to celebrate that story and listen to it. So with that, my ego is checked and I'm present.
Thank you. Am I checking my ego?
Yes, sir. Yes,
if I don't check it right, let me know.
There's no right way to check the ego.
First of all, I'm grateful for this opportunity to tell my story. One of the things my business advisor always tells me is that this whole balance between ego and kind of openness is something that I've just struggled with for a long time. Like, there's a lot of things that I feel that I've accomplished, but I'm not really the guy who wants to run around and talk about it, because you don't want to be perceived as, you know, being too cocky or ego.
It's the ego too.
Right? Yeah. So I picked that up from you, the kind of the both sides of the ego, which is an interesting thing. I'm going to spend some time kind of pondering about that. Yeah. But it's a good place to start. My ego is checked.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Awesome. So the last thing I'll talk about before we take our first break is the Day of Great Despair. And this is just the point in every episode where we want you to talk about a time, a phase, a moment, a full day where things just didn't seem to be going well, just didn't seem to be coming together. And sometimes there's no answers to why, but there just is that happened. And so we call that the Day of Great Despair. We always want to make sure that there's an opportunity for our guests to connect with something that's very real about you so that they know that you're not perfect. And they don't have to be perfect to be like you. And so that's the Day of Great Despair. With that, we'll take our first break. We'll come back and get into it.
Spending blood money on gold and nice timing. $100,000 a month, but keep it modest. Selling merchandise out the trunk, just know we got it. Pops always told me, man, you gotta break the cycle. Uncle Sam real, so I chill with my accountant. Turning down deals on the road with my family. Six figures, really not much, I need seven. I don't take L's, I learn lessons. I'm blessed. AMG with the red seats, it feel like a dream. 5 hours on the interstate, gotta get this cheese. Stainless steel Batman Rolex with no D. Love, you know you gotta have your weight up to vote with me. Running up a check to the neck, I got 6 ways. I'm just trying to live my life happy, I've been through some things. I think the best thing I ever did was never quit. Stay up on your grind, young
and we're back. Rich.
Whatever,
we're on first break. We were already back from our break, but like I don't know, we're back from the break. Aaron, actually, I want to just get started with you just telling us we're in this great space. This is definitely co-working space, incubator space. I want you to talk about N3DC, how it became to be, and what it is, and why you did it.
Okay, so N3DC, Inclusive Innovation Incubator, is a space that's intentionally focused on supporting diverse technologists, entrepreneurs, and creatives. It is a manifestation of a bunch of separate programs that we had been running independently through my first company called Clearly Innovative. We had done youth education programming. We had worked with entrepreneurs initially as a technology firm, but what we recognized meeting a lot of these entrepreneurs, there was a serious set of skills or shortcomings, not for their own fault, that they did not have, that we were basically offering for free just through the interaction. Specifically, a lot of stuff about entrepreneurship, validating your business, and all sort of stuff before you say, I'm going to build an app or I'm going to build a website. You know, everybody just jumps straight to building without kind of doing the proper assessment. So here at IN3, you know, we still do our youth education program. We do a lot of educational programming to support entrepreneurs, and we also provide technical programming services to support them. When I kind of tell folks about the stuff we do, they get lost because it's a lot. So this last year, 2019, we put things in separate buckets to make it easier to explain. And so the buckets are the future is written in code. All of our technology, programming, anything that's technology related fits under future is written in code because we believe at some level the future is written in code. The next one is Grow and Glow, which is a women's entrepreneurship and support programming. Then we have the Inclusive Innovation Labs, which is what we call the Tech-Enabled Business Bootcamp. The idea there is that you can go to any business bootcamp you want, but the reality is in a lot of Black and brown communities, we lack the technical capital, i.e. technical resources to help you implement what your program is or your product is. And so because we own a software development firm, what we do is about the time after you get to your business model canvas, we act as your virtual CTO to walk with you through the rest of the bootcamp so that you understand not only at the end how to implement my business, but also how I might potentially implement the technology that's required for success in my tech-enabled business. And then the last one is, it's not just a game. Gaming industry is ginormous. It's
growing.
I just saw a statistic that said the gaming industry made 3 times as much last year as all the movie companies put together.
Wow.
I also saw another statistic, which was mind-boggling too, which is it said that 49% of individuals over the age of 50 play a video game or a mobile game at least once a month.
That makes sense.
So it just shows
Spades
you
every night.
It just shows you how huge kind of this industry is. And the other reality is, just we being honest, is like these industries are like biting off of Black folks, right? They all are making money off of all our culture. Mm-hmm. While, you know, and no shame on Black folks, are we all just sitting at home playing our game thinking that we got it, right? It's like, how do we take that energy and passion and inject it into the business that's already using our culture, our fashion, our style, all these things, you know? Mm-hmm. Let's take that energy and get into it. Folks initially asked me, what does gaming have to do with, you know, with IN3? I'm like, it's just like any other business. It's entrepreneurship.
That's right.
And, you know, we need to get on that train. We missed the first tech train. There's a lot of industries that we got on in the end. And, like, there's still an opportunity for us to get on this one. I mean, it's moving fast, but, you know, we need to get on that train.
What made you start the incubator?
What made me start the incubator? People told me I should do it.
That's one reason.
So what happened was initially when we first started a proposal, we're like, this doesn't make any business sense whatsoever. We want no part of this. Uh-huh. But then, I don't know if this is my day of great despair, but it was close. You start to wonder Well, let me roll it back a little bit further than that. For a long time, I had achieved what I perceived as success. Mm-hmm. But there was still this thing inside of me that's like, but why? Mm-hmm. Like, what's the why? Like, I started writing software when I was in sixth grade. Mm-hmm. I've never really struggled to find a job. Mm-hmm. I've had a relatively successful life in comparison. It's one of the things you learn as you get older, mm-hmm. right? When you're going it's through relative. It, right? When you're going through it, you're like, this shit is hard. Mm-hmm. But then as you get to a certain point, you look around, you're like, you know, my shit was not as hard as a lot of other people. So I need to be more grateful, yeah. right?
That's right.
And gratitude be more thankful and recognize my privilege. But I'm still at this point where I'm saying there's got to be a reason why this shit was so easy for me to get to this point, mm-hmm. right? And why do I still have this feeling inside of me that there's more that I should be doing? Yeah. And I remember clearly the day, because I was shaving, I was in San Francisco, I was at the United Negro College Fund, they have this thing called HBCU Innovation Summit, I was about to go down to an event, and I realized I'm here to teach people. Mm. That's what I realized. Right. So at that point, I was teaching at Howard. I had my software development company. In my software development company, we hire people who don't have a computer science degree, mm-hmm. and we help them to become web and mobile developers. I had written a book already. You know, I had blogged extensively. And I realized that, Aaron, you're already doing what you're supposed to be doing. You just need to accept it and mm-hmm. run with it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so once I had that acknowledgement and then the opportunity to do something special with IN3 presented mm-hmm. itself, I said, I don't need to get a big win with IN3. Mm-hmm. I just need to get across the finish line, right? Because if I can get across the finish line, then I'll be given the opportunity to do it again, right?
Yeah.
The point is that a lot of us, because we think you've got to hit the home run every time, if we don't think we can get the home run, we don't take the beat, right? So to me, my objective here was, because here's what I got now, right? Mm-hmm. Let's just be frank. There are not a lot of black folks that have done what I've done here.
Mm-hmm. No.
Right? Mm-hmm. So even if I just have I don't even say that. Just the fact I got across the line is a win. Mm-hmm. So now somebody else says, hey, I want to do something like IN3 and wherever my city is or wherever. Mm-hmm. The best way you're successful in any project is getting someone who's done it before.
That's right.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So that's how I reset how I define success for this project, right?
Yeah.
Is being available? Is it being available for those who want to take it on themselves?
Providing the space. Is success to me is the opportunity to be able to, A, encourage other folks that something like this can be done, mm-hmm. but B, the fact I can add it to my resume to say that I've done it already.
Why? Why?
Because to me, it's part of a bigger picture, right? Mm-hmm. And that was, I had to ask that why, even though, you know, I've been encouraged, Aaron, sometimes, because I'm an analytical person, I want to understand everything, right? As a software developer, you're given a problem to solve and you have to try to understand every potential outcome for every step that you make mm-hmm. to be successful, right? Because that's how you build your app, right? And so unfortunately, that mental processing manifests itself in all my life. My wife does not like it, but
I don't like to lose.
It's not about winning or losing. It's about me trying to anticipate the potential outcome of every word as I'm saying it.
Mm-hmm. Got you.
And the same thing in business. As I'm making it a business decision, I'm already anticipating if Aaron, if you do this, then this could potentially happen. If this potentially happened, and going mm-hmm. down that whole map, like in my head.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, it's almost like anxiety.
It is.
There's like anxiety is what the fear of fear itself. Yeah. It's the fear of infinite possibilities, the unknown. You drive yourself crazy.
You do.
Yeah.
Fear's a good motivator, but there's a cost that comes along with it. Mm. For example, like when my wife was pregnant, I got hives.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I get that.
Like my lip would like swell up, my feet would swell up, I couldn't walk, I got all stressed. As soon as she had my daughter, it just disappeared. But it still manifests itself now. Like there's times that I'm stressed out about work and, you know, I'll just wake up and my lips swollen. Like not just like a little bit, like to the point where I don't go out. Or my feet are swollen and I can't walk.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I realized that that's just anxiety and stress about stuff. And mm-hmm. so now I'm just at a point where I just let it go. Because I can't, because what I realize is that that stress and anxiety is sucking away energy from moving me in the right direction, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And part of that was letting go of the trying to understand why everything is the way it is. Like, Aaron, why is this situation so fucked up, mm-hmm. right? Hey, it's fucked up. Mm. I can think about it for a little while, but then I got to just keep moving.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's what it is.
Basically.
What has been some of the pushback that you've gotten external to the internal anxiety and pushback and worry? And, like, what's been some of the other external?
I mean, to be real, black folks just like to hate. Mm. I mean, I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah, right? That's fine.
You know, sometimes folks just like, and I'm going to take that back. Folks in general like to hate.
Yes.
Right?
I take that one
yes.
more.
Right? But the challenge that you have is when you, as a, and I don't think I'm overgeneralizing because I think statistics will support me, but I'm not a statistics person. When you have a community that has less, you see more hate. Right?
True.
Right?
Well, there's because just more there's, to envy.
Yes, there's more to envy because there's this perception that there's a lack of opportunity. There's a greater lack of opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it just kind of creates this environment where success is almost, is some way perceived as bad.
Yeah.
Right? It's this, I actually spoke about it on my last podcast, which is the, like, why is success sometimes perceived as selling out? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, can't we?
Misery loves company.
Yes,
even,
it does.
Even perceived misery loves company. The notion that you made a good statement when you talked about that there's this perception that there's a lack of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, if I perceive that there's a lack of opportunity and you somehow are winning, mm-hmm. you must have done something to sell out to get it because yes. it's not available.
Yeah. It is, right?
It's not available right? to mama. So.
And so what we try to do here is change that narrative and say, look, there's opportunity that is available. Excuse me. Here's some access to information program services for you to see, too. I was just interviewing a woman downstairs.
That's very logical.
Yeah. I was just interviewing a woman downstairs for our team. And one of the things that she says, and it resonated with me because what we're about here is that getting people in the door to hear other entrepreneurs' stories or to just meet with other people that are going through the same struggle as you are gives you this sense of empowerment that, A, there's other people going through the struggle, so I'm not alone. And, B, this is part of a community that I can come to that'll give me the support that I need. So you're right. I was privileged. My dad was in the Navy for 20-some-odd years. He was an electronic technician. So my interest in technology started early through him. You know, when you're young, your dad's Superman, you're interested in everything he's doing. My fascination with technology led me to an ass whooping when I stuck a bobby pin in the plug socket and got a shock after my dad told me multiple times, don't do that. And one day I just wanted to understand how this thing works.
Right.
I stuck it in there and I got a shock and I got my ass whooped.
But you made it.
So.
But then after that, you know, he bought me an electronics kit from Radio Shack for uh-huh. those. I'm aging myself a little bit.
I know what Radio Shack is.
You know, I know what Radio Shack is, right? But, you know, that started me down my path of technology, and you're right. So, I was privileged, and, he bought me my first computer, which is a Timex Sinclair that I had at home, you know, and then in middle school, the way I got into tech was I was a scrawny little child, and I used to get beat up at lunch. So I stayed in the library and because I got tired of getting beat up. You know, that's logical, right? You say it, I'm logical. I think about right. things. Go right. outside, get beat up, stay inside, don't get beat up. Right?
So you get beat up by football players?
No, they weren't football players. They were just, I was a quiet, observant person. That's what I am. I watch, I observe, I take in information, and I process it. And there was a box sitting in the corner in the library that had sat there for weeks and weeks, and no one touched it. And I asked the librarian, what was it? They said, it's a computer. I'm like, why is it in a box? You don't know how to use it. I said, can I open it? They said, yes. And so I opened it. And then that's how I started to teach myself the program. And then it was a Commodore 64. No, it was a PET. Commodore PET.
Yeah.
And I can remember on, because no one else knew how to use it. So on weekends, they would let me check out this computer. And it was like this big box. My dad would come in our station wagon, throw it in the back. I'd take it home and I'd work with it. And that's how I got into coding.
Wow. So we're going to take a break and come back and we'll get more deep into where you got started, the influences of your family, than sort of the impact of giving back. Right? Nine in the mood, fine in my bag. Nine in the mood, fine in my bag. Do anything for the cash. Do anything for the cash. Nine in the mood, fine in my bag. Nine in the mood, fine in my bag. Do anything for the cash. Do anything for the cash. Give me space, let me breathe. Never gon' rest if you never gon' let me. I understand it's what you need, but it won't be my best if I ain't got nothing left. Baby, I can't lie, I got money on my mind. Baby, I can't lie, I got money on my mind. You love spending time, you ain't gotta spend the time. Long as we're in rhythm, you don't care about the run. When it's low or flame, you want me to heat it up. Tyson in the ring, you want me to beat it up. How you like it, I know how you like it. Girl, I shine it right here, but only when I'm fired up.
Shaw's trying to get me to remember what we just said 13 seconds ago.
I forgot already.
We are back with Winging It, the podcast with Aaron Saunders at the N3 Incubator. And so we had just finished telling us a little bit about your childhood and growing up and having the privilege of being able to have exposure to computer technology at such a young age. Let's talk a little bit about how that exposure manifested throughout your career. Talk to us a little bit about Black tech and what your perceptions of Black tech is. And then, you know, maybe we can finally end up with, like, you telling us where you think where Black tech is going today.
Okay.
Go for it.
All right.
Do you remember all those questions?
All five of them, back to back. Here you go. I can break them down.
The interesting part was back then, I won't say anyone. I just never thought that tech would, I did not see it being where it is today. Right. To me, it was just a hobby. I coded for fun. Like, that's how I enjoyed myself. I was reading Scientific America back then. You know, my mother was like, what the heck is, like, Popular Electronics, all those, like, that's what I did for fun. Like, they would have to yell at me to tell me to put that stuff down and go outside and play.
Right.
That's just how my mind functioned, you know? Even today, my daughter's like, why do you work all the time? I'm like, I'm not working. I just enjoy this. Yeah. Like, I'm like, this is my hobby.
Yeah.
Right? And there's a difference. I feel blessed that something that I enjoy has provided this life for me. Right? So, like, I don't go to work and, like, oh, shit, I gotta go. Like, I like this stuff, right? So that was good. So I'm thankful. Hey, I'm thankful I found it very early on in life because it allowed me to position myself on a path that, unfortunately, folks who don't find technology until later in life, it's just, at this point now, it's a tough game to play catch-up.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
There was, you know, and this goes back to the privilege. Right. There's a woman who came for one of our events here. Why can't I remember the name? Spelman? Is that the woman's college in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Spelman graduated, successful job as a consultant. She came to one of our free coding classes here. And at the end, what ended up happening was we go through about an hour and a half of the coding class, and then we just sit around and just talk about shit. And one of the things she said was that, you know, she wishes that she knew about coding before she got to college. And she just graduated maybe 4 or 5 years ago, right? Because now she's trying to get back to that because that's what she really wants to do, right? I taught at Howard, and I had kids in a computer science program who never coded before they got to college. Right? Yeah, you can catch up, but you're competing against kids who are taking coding classes in 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade already.
Or we're coding at 6 years old.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, how do you kind of catch up and survive and have the resilience, which is kind of the thing I say, entrepreneurs survive because they're resilient, right? And if you don't have that background in tech and you try to do it, so like there's a whole bunch of kind of ifs that you need to add, right? So I made it to college. Most cases, someone's going in debt for me to go to college, right?
Here, here.
Right?
Robert Smith doesn't come every year.
Every year. That's Robert Smith doesn't come every year, right?
But he came in 2019.
Yes, he came in 2019. I saw that. You were blessed. Right? So I'm a student. I'm in college. Never really got access to tech. Finally get access to tech and like, hey, this is something I really like. I am passionate about. But I'm racking up debt for my parents. Mm-hmm. Right? Is this going to be able to get me the job that I need to kind of address that financial burden I have? Am I going to have the runway to take the risk if I'm an entrepreneur and I have a good idea?
Mm-hmm. Sounds like that anxiety creeping in again.
Yeah, right? And so then you wonder and then you say, well, I just need to go get that 9-to-5. So I got to pay off my college debt. I got to do this or I got to do that. And so you wonder how many folks from under-resourced, we'll just use that word now, families, communities are just hopping off the train because of this debt problem or because mm-hmm. this uncertainty about them being successful or because of the family who's made the great sacrifices to get them to college saying, you need to go over there and get that job and get paid, right? There's so many things that make it difficult for us to kind of break through and find these successes there, which, is just another one of the things we're trying to figure out. What can we do to contribute to that?
Why do you feel it's your job to resolve these ills of an entire community? Because there are systemic issues.
I agree with you 100%.
That make that the case.
That reminds me, when I was in boarding school, I had a white teacher asked me, why do you feel like you need to carry the burden of all the other black people?
Yeah.
I said to her, because there's 5 black people in the school and y'all are looking at me.
Yeah.
So if I run around here acting a fool, all these other kids are going to think, oh, these black folks, I ain't going to say what I want to say, but you know where I'm going, right? So I've struggled with that and I'm letting some of that go. But part of it is it goes back to the ego and success thing that I'm still, you know, trust me. Yeah. I'm not in therapy anymore, but I'm still trying to work through some of those issues.
We got time, man.
Right? Yeah.
We got time.
I mean,
tell me how you feel.
I've been in therapy before. The folks are like, oh, therapy is jacked. I'm like, oh, that actually gave me some peace. You know, and it's interesting you say that because one of the things that my business coach, like after my third or fourth session with him, he's like, you know, what's going on with that? Exactly what you asked. And I'm trying to shake some of that, but it's this guilt of blessings that I'm working through. Mm. Right?
Guilt of blessings.
Yeah.
As if
does that make sense?
It does.
It makes sense for me. Having experience conceptually, as I conceptualize guilt of blessings, like having felt guilty for some of the things and some of the opportunities that I've had. And I know, Rashad, this parallels for you in many ways, too.
I understand where you're coming from. I might still push you on it just a little bit. So, I mean, even the word blessing means that it's not necessarily something that you earned or deserved, per se, but that was available to you. And that's just life. And so... I tend to also believe that sometimes those who are blessed are the ones who should be blessed because they have the heart and the spirit to do the things that can now help bless others. And so I'm wondering, as you resolve that, you're doing all the things that someone who has been blessed is supposed to do. And I'm just wondering, like, it's odd to me that you say that that's driven by guilt and not by something else. It's like, it's not passion for the people.
It's not driven by guilt any longer.
It's personal. It's like you're personally trying to overcome success. Is it about the passion for the people or is it, and there's no right answer here.
It's a combination of the two, right? Yeah. So it's like, I feel that the technology industry and entrepreneurship has provided a very good life for me and my family. And you know, I want to share that with other folks.
Yeah.
I want them to know, yo, come check this shit out. There's good stuff happening here. Yes. But yeah. I want them to look like me because there aren't enough people that look like me trying to bring other folks into the table, right?
There it is.
Unfortunately, too often, we're like, yo, I got mine. Fucking figure it out. right? Mm-hmm. As opposed, but my attitude is, I'm going to try and hook you up, because there might come a day when I'm going to need the hookup, and you're going to remember, hopefully, you know, Aaron hooked me up. Let me see what I can do with that brother.
All right, so I'm going
to... So it's about community. It's about, to me, it's about community building, and also it's kind of selfish, like trying to build my own support system and my own safety net, you know, one block at a time, right?
I understand that.
Does that make sense?
That does. I do. It makes perfect sense, because if you do the right thing, you'll never beg for bread yourself, and that's a good concept. It also kind of points to your paranoia and anxiety a little bit, because you're like, I need to make sure I set up my own safety net, because I don't know if I'm going to always be this successful.
Actually, the fact I've overcome that part, right?
So that was a thing.
It was a thing. So to me, I'm at the point where if this whole thing shits the bed, I'm okay. Like before, I was afraid people say, oh, Aaron's a failure. Oh, look at all the opportunity he had. Because this is a pretty high profile thing. But now I'm like, none of y'all motherfuckers stepped up to do it.
Like it.
Right? I went through a lot of that in the beginning. A lot of people were hating on me like, none of y'all motherfuckers stepped up. You all could have done it. Anyone could have stepped into the abyss and said, I'm going to try and do this. You can hate on me all you want, but I stepped up.
That's right.
And I'm going to, no matter, like I said at the beginning, no matter what comes out of this, there's so many lessons that I've learned. Through this, like, I'm 2 years in, I got another year. There's so many lessons that I've learned that y'all can talk about, but you have never done or tried. People come in here all the time and talk to me about, oh, Aaron, you should do this. Oh, Aaron, you should do that. Oh, this. And I was like, okay. In the beginning, I used to push back, but right now, I'm just like, yeah, you want to know what? That's not a bad idea. And I'm sitting there, y'all don't think that I haven't spent hours thinking through all this. I live this, right? This is a drive-by for y'all. So just keep on going, you know?
Bro, you got me so hype over here right now. Wouldn't it be like, yes, I agree.
Yeah, but that's the stuff a lot of folks don't want to hear, right? They want to hear the, like you said earlier, like the 10 ways your life be successful on Instagram TV. They need all that bullshit. It's like, man, I ain't got that bullshit.
So can I pivot then a little bit?
Yeah, go ahead.
Not to assume that this is, that I mean, that this next topic is bullshit, but I still want to talk about it. Maybe it is. Mm. What is black tech?
I don't know. Honestly, you got me riled up from the last one, so we about to go.
What is black tech?
Who are you asking? You asking me?
Or I'm asking
how do I
you.
Perceive? I think we all still trying to figure it out, right? Mm-hmm. So,
is there such thing as black technology?
I don't think there's such thing as black technology.
Right.
I think that black tech is a fucking marketing term. Mm-hmm. I think that I used to be a promoter at a club, and now I'm in black tech because that brings people in the door.
Speak on it.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think that then I'm going to get the sponsors because they just want to check the box and say, see, I was at this black event. It's a black tech event. Ain't none of you motherfuckers know shit about tech or about entrepreneurship.
I'm trying to turn your microphone up.
Sorry. But it's just like...
That's what I want to hear.
It's. I mean, and that's the struggle, right? And so then our community is getting fed bullshit.
But then it's tough because if you speak about it...
Then you shut out.
And you're a hater.
You're a hater. And
now you don't get to participate in the black tech of it, but you're the fucking black tech guy.
Here's the fun thing that I like to do. And I encourage others who's listening to try this. The next time you see a black tech event... And you see the list of speakers, Google them and see how much tech they've actually really done, how much entrepreneurship they've actually really done. You'll find these kind of cryptocurrency and Bitcoin experts who didn't know what the fuck that was 2 years ago. But suddenly now they're an expert and they're sitting on a panel yapping about shit that they probably never done in their life. They just read some stuff, tweeted a bunch about it, had a bunch of followers. So now they are, quote, the expert.
Content
is everything. Content can push you all the way to the top and you not have shit behind you.
If I tell you now, will you keep on loving me? If I tell you how I feel, will you keep bringing out the best in me? You give me the sweetest taboo. You give me
What's the impact on the community for that?
It's bad because what's happening is that the whoever can scream the loudest and make the most noise is sucking the little bit of money that comes into the community out. The ego is what's driving them, not the results, not the outcome. Right? Like the, if you go real deep, the question is, even ask the folks who are writing the checks for them, how are you measuring success? Mm-hmm. Success is I'm able to slap my name on top of a person of color to say, here's what I do for diversity inclusion.
I checked the box for the D&I.
Mm-hmm. Right? But here's the, but then the part of the struggle also is the folks out there trying to do the good work, you know, this is a thing, another thing that I struggle with is, you know, where do you draw the line between like, do I sell out for a little bit to get some money and then try and do good? Or do you just fall like, I'm using my Star Wars analogy, you get too close to the dark side. And then what happens? You just get consumed by the dark side and you start to fall in love with yourself and your own success and forget why you started this journey anyway. You know?
You're not the only person dealing with that.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm glad you're talking about it. I think I would say that, in fact, there's probably a lot of people in Black tech today who started off with really good intentions. Mm-hmm. Really good intentions, but then, you know, they needed to pay bills.
Yep.
And they didn't have the other skills that an N3DC would have provided for them to actually be sustainable in their businesses because they wanted to be founders, not people who ran sustainable businesses. And that's obviously
a different thing. That's a whole other conversation.
It's a whole other conversation. I look forward to us coming back.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. So we're going to take one more break. And when we come back, we're going to finish this up. And I just want to say I appreciate you being very candid about your thoughts.
Money, power, respect, leadership, street knowledge, and wisdom.
You are about to enter a dimension you never thought existed.
Pop the champagne.
And even if you're soft, you can't get twisted. So pay attention and listen.
Welcome to my world. It's VIP and the is in the world for free. Welcome to this world that you never thought existed. And you got to be a soldier, be enlisted. Listen, I'm gonna take your mind and your body and your soul on a whole little trip. Just don't lose your grip.
Wait a second, where is the sack?
You don't have to ask no questions. Just jump in the back and leave your strap. Cause ain't none of that. Where we going? It ain't nothing but 808 beats and flowing. I'm showing some good love. But look, that's how we do it. Cause everything is in the mix. Doggy land, doggy world, Snoop world, whatever. It don't matter cause we bout it. And homies down to do whatever. Everything is legit.
And we're back with Winging It Podcast. Sitting here with Aaron Saunders. He is giving us lots of free game that he has paid for.
Thanks.
Tremendously. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate it. We're going to switch a little bit into the here and now. Like, so you mentioned some of the, you mentioned Clearly Innovative being saddled with this. So like you've now taken the time to give up the path that you were on for whatever reason to continue to provide this space for other people, help other people to build something sustainable, to get to where you were slash are, right? But you have lots of people around you that you make sacrifices for or have to make sacrifices for this. Can we talk a little bit about family? Can we talk a little bit about, you know, wife, children, we'll talk about all that, and their impact and and the effect of this?
Yeah. I mean, without my wife, I would not be here. There's absolutely no doubt. My wife is almost the exact opposite of me. Like, she is chill. She can just let shit roll. And she tolerates me. You know, I am not the, I don't like to talk a lot. I could talk a lot here because this is stuff that I'm very comfortable with. I prefer to be left alone. I prefer to not talk. I prefer to sit by myself and write code. What I do. Before I got married, I can go the whole weekend without talking to a soul. I can leave work on Friday. I can go home, just do what I got to do and not talk to another. I don't need to call you. You don't email me. Just, and I am good. I didn't get married till I was 40. Right. I had relationships, I was, you know, but I didn't get married. I always found ways to bail on them all. You know, I always had an exit plan before I got into them because I knew I wasn't ready to get married.
You reevaluated all of the possible outcomes.
Yes, I evaluated all the possible outcomes so that I always knew going after I dated them for a while, I knew that when I was ready to pull the plug, I knew how I could pull and kind of save face. because I knew I wasn't ready. But when I was ready, I was ready. I mean, to come personal, like I dated my wife for maybe 3 weeks, and I said to her, "We get married or I'm out," because I'm at the point in my life I ain't around. I ain't trying to get ass. I'm past this shit. It's time to like have a relationship or move on, because I don't need to spend this much time with someone just to get sex, right? You know, right. I mean, right. I'm just being real,
right?
Right,
right. And I believe that you actually said it that way.
My wife was married before, so when we got married, it was like the Brady Bunch. She had 4 kids already. I had a son, and then now I've since had a daughter with my wife. Most of my kids are grown now, though, and also I'm a grandfather.
Wow!
Yeah, so I'm packing it. Yeah. Right.
Right, 28-year-old grandfather.
28-year-old grandfather, exactly. I started early.
That's what I'm doing. I started early. 28.
But the support that I have from my wife and support that I have from my family has allowed me to continue to push on, because you know, like when you have those rough times, you're like. So one of the things I said to my stepson, was that because I met him when he was in his teens, like 15, 16, you know, and you know, boys love their dads. You know, now I'm with his mom, so I'm that guy now. Who's,
right.
You know, so we have this kind of challenging relationship. You know, of him trying to figure it out, you know, here's this new man, you know, but I still love my dad. And all I said to him, I was like, look, at the end of the day, a man's judged how he treats his family, period. Full stop. Nothing else matters to me. And so the struggle that I went through as I went down this entrepreneurial journey was, don't forget about what you're saying. You need to kind of eat your own dog food. Am I doing right by my family also, right? Yeah. I'm not single, right? So this might be my dream, but I got a shitload of people kind of that I got to bring along with me who need to support me. And if I can't get them to come along with me, I am married, I have a family, and I got to decide what I'm going to do about this. And I have, the family has got to be first, right? And so having these conversations with my wife all along the way and making sure she was still there for me, she got my back. I mean, don't get me wrong. We've had our kind of ups and downs. For someone who, and I think anyone who's in a relationship who is an entrepreneur or a founder realizes that there's a lot of sacrifice that you have to make. And a lot of feedback I give to specifically brothers who ask me about it is that you've got to figure out a way to communicate to your significant other or this thing's just going to die. Right? If people aren't in this ecosystem, it's really hard for them to understand it. It's really hard for them even to understand the mindset of an entrepreneur. And so you have to share and over communicate so that they don't think that your dream is more important than them. And that's what will crush it, right? Is, oh, you care more about this than me. You care more about this than our kids. You care more about, and it's like, trying to find a balance there to bring them along with you is the only way you're gonna get. I believe.
Is there such thing as balance?
Balance is how you balance is your balance. Your balance is different than my balance, right? If you're in a relationship, the way that I measure balance is the person I'm with happy too, right?
Yeah.
And that's the balance I want to move towards. I know I said it at the beginning, and I'll say it again. You know, I work a lot. I spend a lot of time here. I spend a lot of time at home at work. I mean, I spend a lot of time at home doing work. But, you know, without my family, I couldn't. I wouldn't be able to feel the mental freedom that I need if I didn't have that support structure. Does that make sense?
It does. What's the finish line look like? You talked earlier about the success for you as you define it
The finish line for me is In3Nation.
Okay.
And that's what we're rolling into in 2020 is In3Nation.
Let's talk about In3Nation.
In3Nation is taking the IDN concept of In3DC and kind of just spreading it across the US. Right?
Select cities.
Yep. Opening additional locations of In3s in other cities.
What kinds of communities?
Under-resourced communities. We want to go where people want us, right? So that's one of the big... That's one of the lessons that I've learned here, right? Mm-hmm. Is we want to go to cities that want us to be there, that have the philanthropic support for the work that we're doing here, and have state and local government support, right? We believe that these are multiple things that are needed, and everyone's goals need to be aligned, which is a lesson that I learned through this process, right? Spending a little bit more time understanding how your partners define success to ensure that there's an overall success at the end. Because y'all could want the same things, but success is different in each person's mind. And then the reason why the philanthropic support is critical is that not everyone can pay for this shit, right? But we need to keep the lights on. One of the things that I try to shy away from is saying I'm a social impact business, right? Because once you say that, you get put into one, like there's two different sides.
You're a nonprofit calling yourself a for-profit business that raises money.
You're right. And we believe that we can make money.
Yeah.
We believe that this is a scalable business. We believe there's a way to make money and still support the community that we want to support. And still help entrepreneurs. And that's what we're attempting to do. No, not attempting. That's what we are doing.
How do you convince yourself for that? How do you continue to convince yourself that that is a true statement to keep your belief high when it doesn't feel like it?
If I can convince someone else to give me money to do it, I believe I'm 50%. I'm probably 75% of the way there, right? We've done our 2.5 years here. We go back and we look at our numbers. We figured out what works and what doesn't work. I'll be frank. Like, the space we're in right now is too big.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's one of the problems. So it's a big space. The other reality is that I love D.C. D.C. is my home. The demographics of the city are not conducive to our business objectives. How's that sound? Did I clean that up?
That is very diplomatic way to describe it, and probably a tough thing to accept.
It is tough to accept because, if you bring it way back, you're like, oh, this is Chocolate City. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Was,
right? Everybody knows the demographics of the city has changed. The reality is my target audience is not in this community.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? So I'm asking a community that doesn't have as much capital, much access to funding as other communities, to spend their time and their money to come out of the community they're in into another community to get access to program and services support that's really for them. I don't know how much more time we have, but there's like some lessons that were learned about IN3 being next to a university, right? Right, I will never do that again.
Interesting.
It's just not the right play from a business perspective. Okay. And here's the lesson that we learned. I'm giving away some of my business secrets.
Hey,
right?
Sharing the knowledge.
You want me to cut this off?
No, I'm real. But also my point is that here's one of the things that one of my partners says to me.
They're not going to do it anyway. I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
But that's exactly what it was. You know, one of my business partners was like, Aaron, there's certain things that you need to keep about how you want to execute, but there's other things that they just simply can't execute and do it the way you can because of the past experience and all the things that you know. You can put it out there. It's one thing to say, I'm going to do that, and it's another thing to actually be able to do it, right? So the challenge that you have with being by a even in close proximity of a college or university, specifically HBCUs who are struggling for funding and financing and support and all these other things, is you're chasing the same money. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get a tech sponsor to run a program here. They probably have allocated a certain amount of funding that they want to give to HBCUs or basically diverse communities. Right? Are they going to give it to a university or are they going to give it to me? Right? So it's almost like, although I could see that where there should be opportunities for us to partner and have successful outcomes, it's almost like there's so few. Someone told me they're like it's a Game of Thrones. They throw a couple of crumbs in and watch us all fight over the same crumbs. Right? Mm-hmm. And so the question is, I actually think we could be more impactful if we were further away from Howard than because of how close we are to them. Because it's just an easy exit to say, oh, well, I already gave a check to Howard. Because we all love the poverty porn.
That's true.
Poverty porn. Yes, that's true. Indeed.
That's true.
Those pictures in the...
Right. And the struggle, the black on Twitter struggle.
Don't get me started. Right now,
And so
we'll be here for two more hours.
So being the successful professional who's always had the entrepreneurial drive, and then is finally at a point stable in their life to kind of start that journey, the tech rags in the cities don't want to tell that story.
Right. Mm. Right. So I thought about something early on, and I wasn't going to bring it up. I was going to bring it up off the mic, but I think I want to ask it. You know, you how if we take into account, yes, you went to boarding school, but you said there were only five total black people at the boarding school.
Two of them are my sisters.
So there you go. So your family was at the boarding school, right?
There's one black family at the boarding school.
Right. If we take that experience in total, I would say this, because at times in my life, I guess, I definitely lived in the hood in South Central LA, but there were also times when I was doing better in a family. I guess I would say I was not exposed to tech either.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of alluded to it when you said this was just a hobby for me. It wasn't until I got to college that I realized, like, I mean, can I actually do this?
Right.
No one ever told you this. And so I wonder if maybe part of the future of N3DC isn't about the poverty porn, but also about just making sure that you're in a space where people can access it who might be middle class, who might but still not ever get this kind of access, who might come from families where.
How are you defining poverty porn?
Okay. How I'm defining poverty porn is you come from one of the wards we described. Mm-hmm. You're below a certain the typical poor person who can't, maybe they can't pay bills. Mm. Parents are trying to work all the time. If they're working, they're probably on some type of public assistance. And, if I'm telling the story, I grew up and I say things like, I didn't have a mom or a dad and I ain't never had nothing in my life. And thank God for Aaron Saunders and his N3DC. Yeah. It actually literally took me from not being able to eat anything other than top ramen out the trash can to being a coder and a tech billionaire.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
That's what I'm...
I mean, I believe that the wins and the successes in reality are going to come from more of the middle class.
Right.
Right? And our goal is those wins and successes can be funneled back into support the other work that we want to do.
Indeed.
Does that make sense?
It does. And I'm going to push even further. You said you get the most success with the people who skew a little older. And I would say that there's nothing for people who are mid-career, making a decision around 30, 35, 40. The lady who went to Spelman, make her now 40 years old. And she's had a career that hasn't been good to her. Right. And despite her success, she wants to do something else. She has nothing. Well, she has N3DC, but it's kind of perfectly situated for her. But I don't know that there are a lot of those sort of foundational institutional things that exist for all the people who could get you the numbers.
Because it doesn't fit into we're not going to say conspiracy. It doesn't fit into the system, right?
That's correct.
The purpose of
you
the
can't
system,
get that funded.
Right, because it's better to go to the photo op with the smiling black kids.
Right.
To say, hey, we did our hour of code.
Right.
Check. Right?
I'll bring my kids down. We'll put on some different clothes, man.
Right?
I can have my children stop by.
Get the photo op.
It's almost like some of these organizations have like written off a whole generation of black folks. Right? And like all the money and effort and energy is being targeted toward kids or those who are blessed enough to get into a college, right? Mm-hmm. I love the HBCUs, but I mean, you're not going to change the world for black people by giving money to HBCUs. I mean, no offense to HBCUs, but it's like, right. If I'm not blessed enough to get into an HBCU, does that mean I'm asked out? That's like my bitch about like, why is there, nothing wrong with returning citizens. Yeah. But why do I have to be a returning citizen to get some of these educational opportunities and entrepreneurship opportunities? I struggled hard just like everybody else. I managed to stay out of jail, but I got to be a returning citizen to get access to some programs?
You're making my point.
Right?
You're making my point.
That's the feeding into the poverty porn story. Mm-hmm. That I'm just like, we need to shake that shit loose. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
I see you as a pioneer of a different kind, and I appreciate you speaking
about this because you're opening some things up. I do have to just say. Thank you.
She's about to talk about these HBCUs.
Not the HBCU thing, just in general of that, you know, what we really need is the opportunity for all of us on all of our stations to have equity, right? And some of us are in stations that are a little bit further behind that need a little bit more work and require greater resources. And we should never overlook that. And we should continue to provide those resources, but we should find us in the rest of the spectrum also. And so that's all I have to say about that.
We'll talk about it off mic.
Yeah.
So unless you have one last thing you want to say.
No, I mean, because I didn't mention this earlier, I spent a lot of my formative years in New York. Yeah. And so for anyone who didn't pick up on that, I just say shit, right?
So do I.
Right? There's more to it, but I mean, I like to you know, I agree with everything you're saying 100%. It's like what I found sometimes is when you're in the room with folks from different communities, sometimes you got to just go straight to it so that there's no confusion of the point you're trying to make.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
I agree.
So,
Aaron, I want to thank you profusely.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you
for being here. And this is I say this every time, one of my favorite episodes, an opportunity to speak. We've got to do a few shout outs.
That's right.
Yes. Winging It is created, written, produced, and presented by Rodice Henneman, Nicole Harden, Emil Bryant, Rihanna Paris Crutchfield, Trinity Elder, and AC Dutch.
Yay!
We have a few calls to action.
Yes. Follow us, or like us, and comment on social media on Instagram at Winging It the Podcast, or retweet and follow at Twitter, the podcast Winging It, and that's the same for LinkedIn and Facebook.
And you can subscribe to Winging It on anywhere that you listen to podcasts, whether that be Apple, Spotify, iHeart, Google, and anything else. But before we get to this next piece, Aaron, where could people find you and find out more about you and the work that you're doing?
Okay, thank you. So I have a podcast called In Three Talks. You can find us on any place you can find a podcast is In Three Talks. It's more of this, really. It's completely raw, unedited. I'm asked questions and I just talk. And so that's also you can find us on social media on N3DC, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And also you can follow me directly on Aaron K. Saunders on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Thank you.
All right, that's it. And thank you for listening to Winging It, the podcast. The podcast for people who don't have their shit together.
Yesterday, my nigga had told me his brother died. A day before that, his homeless uncle was cold outside. A week before, he seen the cancer in his mother's eyes. 2 weeks before, they couldn't pay his rent cause he lost his job. A month before that, he lost the custody of his daughter. 6 months before that, her mother said she won't see her father. And this before he did a year when them charges was brought up. I shook my head, turned around and found $100. I don't know why he keep blessing me. 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 I don't know why, I don't know why, I don't know why. I don't know why. Keep blessing me. I don't know why he keep blessing me. I don't know why he keep blessing me. I don't know why he keep blessing me. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why. Yesterday I invaded privacy of a home. The day before that, my partner had fronted me a zone. A week before, I had loaded bullets inside that chrome. 2 weeks before that, I shot them bullets and he was gone. A month before that, I cursed my mother, then slammed the door. 6 months before that, I hit my woman, she hit the floor. I stormed out, then seen a black Honda Accord. Them hollow tips missed me, then hit that little boy. I don't know why he keep blessing me. 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 I don't know why, I don't know why, I don't know why. I don't know why he keep blessing me. I don't know why he keep blessing me. I don't know why he keep blessing me. I don't know why he keep blessing me.